We are Brightside.
Theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
It's like they're sitting right here with me, and they're not. Almost had one of them. It was close. I got an idea for a show. Wasn't able to schedule anything, so I'm back solo, and I got a decent topic. If you read the description, you know what it is already. Not many people read the descriptions, so, and now a bunch of you are going and looking at the description. I wasn't able to schedule with, New Year's and everything, just being busy and back at the house, working in dirt and everything that's going on. So I decided I'd sit down again. This is fun. It's fun to get back to the roots and sit down solo and just discuss home theater and come up with a discussion, see if I can get a couple of you agitated, aggravated, and generally just angry with me. No, just kidding. I was actually talking to Steve. He's getting a new mic. So he wanted to test that, and I was going to see if, you know, in the middle of testing it, I was like, oh, if you got time, we could have this discussion. You could join in the discussion, but busy working. So, but he has a new mic. So looking forward to that later this afternoon, as you're listening to this on Tuesdays. We'll be live later this afternoon, hopefully with a new mic, or could be better, could be worse. Who knows? But, as Steve and I were talking about last week after the show and stuff, it's like, we really appreciate that. People notice good sound. You know, it's a compliment when you guys are, Steve doesn't sound right, you know, because it's good. Because, you know, you get, I mean, obviously with this community, this hobby, it's like that's what we're all about is, you know, perfect sound, perfect picture and all that. And, you know, if everything's just going along smoothly, nobody says anything and everybody's just, oh, you know, all right, that's good. Everything's good. But once you're off by a little bit, people are like, Steve, you don't sound right. No, blah, blah, blah. And it's not a pain in the butt. It's actually like, all right, we'll get back on that. We want to get back to where we were. So, Steve was busy last week researching and looking up what he got for a mic. So, we'll have that tomorrow. And like I said, it's nothing that's an actual compliment to us because, you know, everybody appreciates the sound that we do have. Not like we're awesome or anything. We're not professional, but we're doing our best and you guys appreciate it. So, and we appreciate that you appreciate it. So, all right. For this week, I was thinking about this. This came up during the show. I've talked about it before. And especially now with you get the update to the Lumigen and talking about catalog titles versus new releases and how, like, what's going on here in home theater? And it's like, do we appreciate it? Like I said, what do you get more excited about? I'll talk about what's more buzz online and what has a chance to be more disappointing, you know, because I just feel like with everything that's going on with our theaters, you get to a certain point that it's like, there's only so much you can do. And then titles will come out and these new titles, it doesn't seem as exciting when a new title comes out as opposed to a catalog title. And is that because there's just way more catalog titles? You know, it's like every year, only so many good movies come out every year that you're going to be really excited about. We haven't even gotten into our best of 2024 yet. But the way I would do it is I go through every month and I pick one. So that's like, if you're lucky, you get 12 great movies a year, but we don't even get that. So, but you only have so many opportunities to be super excited at home and with talking about new releases. But even at that, my excitement used to be with the new releases was, is it as good as it was at the theater? And going back to Bloodshot, that was the first time I got to see a movie that quickly after seeing it in the theater, right? So it was like, that was a new release. It, unfortunately, it took a pandemic for this to happen, but it was a new release. I saw it twice in the theater before it was being released at home, and it literally like got released the following week. So I saw it on opening night on a Thursday that March. My son and I went and saw it on Tuesday night. It was the last showing available because they closed the theaters down at 8 o'clock. We had a 7 o'clock showing. Then they made the decision in Massachusetts that everything had to close down. So like this particular showcase said they were closed at 8 o'clock, and I actually called. I'm like, well, I got tickets for a 7. They're like, yeah. Nothing's starting after 8. Okay. So literally the last showing was on that Tuesday night at 7 p.m. I got to see that, and then it was released the following Tuesday. So that was a week later. That had never, ever happened before. Never happened where you got to compare that quickly. It was maybe it got a digital release. I remember doing it for Captain America, Winter Soldier. When that came out, I was so excited to get that at home. I bought it off of iTunes when that was released, and I watched that probably 4 or 5 times before the Blu-ray came out. And but that was like 2 months after being in the theater, maybe 3 months, something like that. And what was it? I believe that came out in the spring, if I remember the time right. And then it was in August that I saw it. So it was at least 2 months away. But that was like, that was the closest time period, like closest time frame of being able to see it from the theater to your home. So when Bloodshot came out a week later, you had a great, I had a great reference of what I saw in the theater to compare to my theater. And that was the excitement of new releases for me. Obviously, the excitement of a new release in your home, it isn't the movie itself, because most likely you've already seen it. So you're not like going to be all excited about the story or the acting or anything like that. You're there purely for the excitement of what is this like in my theater. And I feel like it's not just me either. I feel like that has kind of gone away to a degree because the catalog titles have gotten so good and in demand. There's so much more of a demand because there are so many of them. Go back to our, True Lies, The Abyss, and Aliens. And like, how many times did we have that conversation? It's like, when are we getting this? When are we, how soon? Why don't we have True Lies yet? Why don't we have The Abyss yet? Those are two like staple movies that needed to be upgraded. I mean, The Abyss never got a Blu-ray. It was in DVD. We never even got a Blu-ray for that. Well, same with True Lies, actually. And so for those two movies that were so popular, how did that happen? But at the same time, isn't it kind of cool that it did? Because we had that conversation for years and years and years on how good something is and how badly we want it. And that creates that buzz. That creates the buzz online. There was more talk. I mean, we've talked about that over the years more than any other single new release, because the new releases, are coming. They come, they're gone, right? I mean, off the top of your head, what was the last new release that would be like, boom, what jumps to your head right now that you could not wait to get at home, right? And for me, it's like, I mean, it was Maverick. It still is Maverick. If somebody were to ask me that question, it's like, absolutely, it's Maverick. I couldn't wait to get that at home. But again, when that was released in theaters, if you remember, it already felt like a catalog title. It was delayed so long. It was delayed like two years because of COVID. I had the trailer playing in my theater for like 2 years. It said coming in like whatever it was, 2020 or 2019. And we didn't get that until years later. So by the time we even got it, it felt like a catalog title. Never mind that it was almost a flat up remake of Top Gun, which is a catalog title. But everything they did with Maverick and the excitement around that and the variable aspect ratio and all of the talk and everything that we were getting, we were so excited to get that in the home that that's one of the very few new releases that you couldn't wait to get at home. The other one that I would say off the top of my head would be Oppenheimer. And again, that was a lot of, aside from if like you liked the movie or didn't like the movie, Shane, it doesn't matter. It's like the movie, the way it was shot, the quote unquote lack of special effects, all of that. And then the 70 millimeter, the IMAX shots, there was so much that you couldn't wait to get in your home and see how that played out. That's few movies are like that, right? Twisters came out this past year. That wasn't nearly the buzz that Twister was when we got it at home, because Twister we'd been talking about since Blu-ray was invented. Said we wanted that in Atmos. Since Atmos was invented, this is the title that needs to be. This was Twister was literally the first Blu-ray that everybody knew about. Not Blu-ray, sorry, DVD that everybody knew about. It's a very popular movie. It's a movie made for Atmos. To the point that I've said on this show and many times, even before I had a show, I'm like, well, it's just wind going around your room. How much more exciting can that be? Well, now we know it can. I was wrong. It can be way more exciting. You know, I thought it was just make noises around your room and it's like chaos and it didn't matter. But the detail they put into that, into Twister, it blew us away. Pun intended. Twisters, on the other hand, regardless, which I don't think the disc is as good as Twister. But Twisters, even if it was as good, you're like, oh, okay, well, it's a new release. Move on to the next one. There's so much more to me to get excited about catalog titles, because we've been waiting for them for so long. You know, like when I did Psycho, I mean, Black and White, DTSX, and you're like, how can this be better? But it is. And we can't wait to delve into that. The same with Lawrence of Arabia, the must see. Everybody tells you must see. The transfer of this is unreal. Lord of the Rings, catalog title. The transfer on that, I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. You're like, it's that at the time was the best like we'd ever seen. And now I'm like, okay, well, I think there's room for improvement here. Because we're getting so used to how good things are now that, okay, we're looking at a catalog title here that at the time, only a few years ago, it was reference. And now to me, it's not exactly reference. It's, you know, it's okay. It's basically okay because everything's so great, right? And then you get like, we get excited. True Lies, like I said, we'll go back to True Lies, The Abyss, and Aliens. And the buzz for years and years and years, we're all excited about it. Can't wait to get it. It comes. And now you got, oh boy, I'm disappointed. This isn't what I wanted. He looks waxy. He looks this. But look at the buzz you're getting out of it. All of that. I mean, the people complaining, people arguing, people telling you, that's not what looks on my system. It gets people talking about their systems. It gets people, well, do you have a calibration? Do you not have a calibration? What are you running? Are you running OLED? No, I'm running this. I'm running that. Are you running? Oh, well, if you don't have that, then you're not going to know this. And everybody, you think the arguing's bad. It's not. That's great. That's home theater. Cracks me up. People, home theater's dying. Want to bet? It's like everybody wanted, oh no, it's this, it's that, it's that. Oh, my system's right. No, your system's wrong. This, that, and the other thing. It's like, it's all something that we're going to argue over. Everybody thinks their system's great. Everybody else, or you think everybody else's system's wrong, but nobody's system doesn't matter. It's your system. You enjoy it. But then you put these titles out, these old titles. You think that you're supposed to know what they look like. Then you get them and you go, I hate that. It's wrong. It doesn't look right. But you didn't make it. So how do you know it's wrong? Maybe that is the way it's supposed to be. You don't have to like it, but you can't say it's wrong. But this is all the buzz that you get out of these catalog titles because your memory is so old. Your memory of what it was years and years ago on a far, like, inferior system. You know, could have been like going back to my days with Star Wars and stuff on a 27-inch 480 television, you know, SD television. And you'd be like, oh, wow, this looks so much better. And then there's so many things that have been upgraded, not just the content, but also, you know, the mode that we're getting it in, and it, there's so much to talk about with these titles that when a new release comes out, it's really, you're really left to, okay, it's a new release. Fall Guy, great comedy, action, got nice colors. It's this, it's that. I mean, it's one of my favorite movies of the year. And by the way, I'm describing it right now, it sounds like it's a disappointment. It's literally one of my favorite movies of the year. But compared to the excitement that a catalog title can bring, and part of that excitement is that it has a chance to be disappointing, right? What's the most disappointing one I could, like Terminator 2? Not to me. I enjoy it. I love Terminator 2. I love the version of that. Can it be better? I'm sure. I don't think it's as bad as what everybody says it is. But there's a when there's a chance of disappointment like that on something that's been anticipated for so long, that's what makes it so exciting. A new release, it hasn't been out long enough for there to be a lot of anticipation. Even if it's 3 months, you know, Maverick took a long time. That built and built. It came out in the summer. We didn't get it in physical media at home until November. I obviously on Kaleidoscape, it dropped digitally at home, but physical release at home, that's a long time, which builds a buzz, which builds some excitement. Again, when it was released to the theater, it was practically a catalog title. By the time you got it at home, it feels like a catalog title, but there's a lot of buzz to that. But how rare is that? You know, think of like even Dune 2. It was great. I didn't even see it in the theater. That's the other part. Like I said before, it's like, what's better? If we're at a point now where most people listening to this podcast, they either have their home theater is as good as the movie theater, or they know they're going to get there, right? They're like, you're working toward it. You go to the theater, you're like, oh, I got some things to work out, but you get it. So that's going to the theater is like, okay, that's nice, but I can't wait to get this at home. But Dune 2, you know, it was great. You get it at home and it is, it's great. It's absolutely fantastic. One of the movies of the year. You'll have to tune in and find out what we think it is, but it doesn't get the buzz and it doesn't get the talk like catalog titles do. The other one is Deadpool Wolverine. How long had that one there? We couldn't wait for Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman together. Finally. What, 20 years? I don't know. How long have they been trying to since X-Men? And then they did Wolverine when Ryan Reynolds was in that with him and he did that bad version of Deadpool at the end of it. And you're like, oh, they want to be together and they want to get back together. And then they joke online. They spent like over a decade busting each other online, how they hated each other. They promoted their gins or whatever Hugh Jackman was promoting. All of that to get to Deadpool Wolverine. It comes out in the theater, couldn't wait to get it at home. It's a great, great release, great home theater experience. Still doesn't match up to me, to the buzz that True Lies got or Terminator got and the excitement I got watching Terminator for the first time. Like Steve said, it's like a whole new movie, right? Deadpool Wolverine, probably one of my favorite movies of the year. But you're like, yeah, that was nice. Home theater wise, that was cute. Yeah, because they nailed it. It's great. Great colors, great sound, everything. But after that, what do you talk about? Jackman, I mean, you're not going to sit on a home theater podcast and sit there and talk about Hugh Jackman, the comedy part, which was great. But that's what we're talking about here is home theater. We're talking about the booms, the bangs, the buzz, all the stuff that goes on in the room. You know, something in the room goes bang on one side, something goes squirt on the other side, and it feels like it's flew by you. Oh, wow, what's going on in this room? It's crazy. That's what we're talking about here. The comedy, yeah, that's, you know, I'm not sitting down watching Dumb and Dumber and raving about the laughs in this podcast anyways. But you get to, like, Deadpool, Wolverine, Fall Guy, like I said. Even, like, new MCU movies, I guess those are the ones that you're like, I want to get those at home, compare them to the other ones. But doesn't that have something to do with the whole Disney thing? It's like, at least from my aspect, from my perspective of it, it's like, I'm like, oh, is this true? Like, I mean, we all talk about not Love and Thunder, Thor Ragnarok, was a disappointment. They missed it. There's no bass. It's flat. We don't like it. It's, you know, that's what gets a movie that's not a catalog title. That's what gets a lot of buzz, is when it's bad. You're like, you got all the tech in the world. There's no reason for this, right? That's what gets the conversation going. You miss on, or as they say on True Lies and The Abyss and Aliens, like, oh, Cameron doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah. Yeah. Cameron doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah. He's making money hand over fist just to, his hobby is making movies. It's like, that's what he does for fun. He's like, oh, I'm gonna do this so that I can make money and go explore stuff. And I'm gonna find stuff. Maybe I'll find a way to make a movie out of it. Oh, wait. Didn't a ship sink once? How can I make a movie around that? Oh, yeah. Let's do that one. Yeah, make billions. Okay, now I get to go explore some more. So there you go. It's like, the guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's an artist, an adventurer. He's doing all these things, and he doesn't know how he wants his movies to look. And donkeys like me sitting in the basement and going, yeah, I did it all wrong. That's ridiculous. He did it all right. You just don't like it. And that's okay. You won't ever see me wearing a kilt, but it doesn't mean it's wrong. I don't know why I just went there. A kilt. How did that pop in my head? So that's ridiculous. But so yes. So another one, Bridge on the River Kwai. Love it. Absolutely love it. Watch that with my dad Saturday afternoon. I remember sitting down and watching it on a, like I said, 25, might have been a 19 inch. I don't know. We're in the basement. Family room in the basement, sitting there just watching. He's like, I'm like, what's this? And it's like, you know, you hear, which my sister thinks is from Breakfast Club, but yeah, okay. But yeah, Bridge on the River Kwai, and no opportunity for me to see that in the theater. I wasn't born yet, believe it or not. I am old, but not that old. And so getting that at home and being able to see that, like Lawrence of Arabia and Psycho and what was the other one that I really raved about? I forget. But anyways, but seeing that on the big screen and on my big screen, and then seeing it and going, they didn't even see this on the big screen. Like when they saw this in the theater, they didn't see it at this quality. That's what makes catalog titles so exciting as well, is that to have an actual that catalog title, which I have two for this week on this week's show. One is flat out, yes, it's a catalog title. I consider a catalog title. But it's like vibrant Thor Love and Thunder crazy, and how good it looks now compared to what I remember. Another one, and I chose it specifically for this reason, more subtle. I didn't know what the answer was going to be, but it's a more subtle version, and both these movies have press play demos for vastly different reasons. But I'll explain that in the show, but they're both catalog titles, and they're both something that shows off the system. And it's something that they can continue to show off the system. That's what's amazing to me, is that these aren't new releases. These aren't like, I got a new version of this and now it looks great. Right. So like with Terminator, we had the Blu-ray. And then every time you upgraded your system, that was the top quality, right? That's all we had. So every time you upgraded your system, you were upgrading that. Well, now we have a new version. We have the 4K Terminator, completely remastered audio, completely remastered picture. That's the top. Now, as you upgrade your system, you're going to be able to pull more and more out of that. That to me is what's amazing about catalog titles. I'm watching stuff now, and it's just become more and more evident to me that there's stuff that's always been there, but I didn't have the capability of it, right? Talking with Todd and Infrasonics, it's all there. You don't need to go get a new disc to get the Infrasonics, to get the lower notes. It's all there. You don't even need an Infrasonic. You just like Mikey and I experienced, just upgrade to the 17s, the SVS 17s, the new subs. You're going to get more out of your existing catalog. How cool is that? Like, what other hobby does that? Right? It's like all of a sudden, it's like, I can't even think of another hobby. You can't do that in cycling. You don't just like, I don't know. How do you do that? It's like, all right, I have what? I don't even know how to say it. It's like, what else do you have on a bike? Like you get, and then everything else just gets better because you just did what? Because it's, I don't know. It's somebody write to me and give me a comparison. Cause I'm like killing myself right now. I love analogies and I'm dropping the ball. I can't think of another thing that'd be like, here's your whole system. Here's the content for it. And you're, and don't write to me and tell me about like audio. Cause that's just basic. This is audio video. And don't write to me and be like a record compared to a tape and then and then CD and then this and then lossless. That's the same thing. This is just audio, but it's always been there. And as you upgrade your equipment, that existing piece that you didn't even know there was more in there, that it blows you away, right? Like with the Matrix. And when I finally did get the Lumigen and the tone mapping, that was a few years ago. And I'm like, that's always been in the background of the opening. I could never perceive that. Right. And you never even saw any of that. And now all of a sudden it's exposed to you. It's always been there. Now, and here's the best part. It's not the best part. It is the best part. It is the part. It is what home theater is all about. There's so much stuff there. And for every Tom, Dick and Harry, donkey in the basement online saying that they have the best system, they're wrong because they don't even know it. If you're saying you have that, first off, I know you don't. You don't have the best because if you're online, you don't have, no way. There's the people that have the best stuff, they're not online telling you they have the best stuff. They just have it. They keep their mouth shut. If you have to tell people you have the best stuff, you don't got the best stuff. But you don't even know what you don't know. And that's the part that I think you'll get rid of so much FOMO. You'll get rid of so much stuff, so much worry when you realize you don't know what you don't know and just enjoy what you have and enjoy what you find out that you don't know. And that's what I've been doing for, probably the last 15 years and being like, this is crazy. It's like, I didn't even know this existed. We didn't know we had this. And now because of, you know, again, like my sister said, just start talking to people. You never know what happens. And you meet guys like, you know, like Steve, you know, we banter back and forth online about Midway and Lucy or something like that. And then that opens me up to a world of people over there like John Thompson and stuff. And they start, all of these people start, and you have conversations and now we're all like good friends. And you're like, I'm learning stuff behind the scenes that it's like, we don't know what we don't know. And if you have, I mean, I've had days long conversations with John Thompson. I could give you, like, if you could sit down with him for 10 minutes and if you could just listen, you'd be like, oh my God, when can we get that at home? You know, it's information like that. That's in the masters, that's in this. And that's what frustrates people like John, is that he hears people online and he's like, they're idiots. They have no idea. They have no idea what they don't know. Jim Doolittle. He's been telling me this for over 20 years. He's been telling me this. People don't know what they don't know. He's like, they have no idea. Don't listen to anybody else. That Jim won't go online. Jim, to this day, will not come on this show. He is so jaded by the internet because he was on it years ago. Years and years ago. Late 90s, early 2000s, he was one of the people in the forums talking to people. And he got slammed so bad that he was like, forget it. These are idiots that don't know what they're talking about. And they're telling me, the professional who has worked on, and if you've been on my show, I've talked to you afterwards. I'll tell you the people, the theaters he's done. And these like professionals, like beyond professionals. This is what he does. And he works against the master. Right? Not the master as in the Mandarin, as in the master copy of a movie. He works again and tries to duplicate that for people in their homes. So if he's trying to duplicate that in a home, going all the way back to 90s with CRT and, you know, in Faruja and trying to duplicate that at a such a low quality, compared to what we have today, that when he was trying to accomplish that and to have people knowing what he knows and the ability that he has to see and know what it should look like, for people to tell him, you can disagree. You can say, I don't prefer it that way, but you can't say that it's wrong. He can actually say, no, that's not right. Same with John Thompson. John Thompson will look at something and be like, no, I know that was supposed to not look like that. For a fact, it's not supposed to look like that. Yeah, but that's the way I like it. And that's fine. You want to hold, you want to hang up the Mona Lisa upside down or backwards. That's up to you. You spent the money, do what you will, but it's going to be wrong. It should be hung this way so people can see it. You know, you don't put it on vibrant and go, that's the way it's supposed to look. So it's stuff like that, that it frustrates. And I give people like, John Thompson and, Chris, Deering tons and tons of credit for remaining online, remaining in the forums, talking to people and saying like, you know, no, this is it. And they're vigilant about this stuff. So people get that information, you know, and this is all comes to, you know, catalog titles versus new releases. How do you compare this stuff? And it's with catalog titles because the new releases, it just came out. This is the best it's ever going to look for right now. It's only been out for months. Here it is again. There's really not a lot to talk about. Doesn't mean we don't enjoy it. Doesn't mean that it's not as fun, but to me, where home theater is, it's in the catalog titles. That's why do I go back to Star Wars every single time I upgrade something or redo a theater or build somebody a theater? I'm throwing on Star Wars. I'm comparing it. I get a new set of headphones. I get the Apple earpods, right? Earbuds, whatever you call them. I put those in. I pull up Star Wars. Because I know it so well. You know, Nelson calls Kaleidoscape. Yeah, your little red dot in the corner is wrong. What? Then Kaleidoscape has to call, you know, Disney. Be like, yeah, this is all wrong. What the hell happened here? We got a guy in Connecticut that's not happy with a red dot. What? Oh, sorry about that. They got on it. They fixed it. Imagine that. Imagine that because of a catalog title. You don't do that with Fall Guy. You don't do that with Oppenheimer. Well, maybe John Thompson did with Oppenheimer. I don't know. That's not fair, though. He's a professional. But you don't do that with a new release because you haven't seen it long enough. You don't know enough about it to be able to say something is wrong, right? It's like you can't. It's just impossible. There's not enough, you know, learned information for you to be able to accurately assess it. And even for Nelson to do that, he went back to other copies. Yes, they were inferior copies to the new 4K or to what was coming out on the Kaleidoscape, because he did have, I believe at the time, he had the 4K and he was playing it through his APD. He played it through the disc. He played it, if I remember correctly. And then he played it on the Kaleidoscape and was like, something's not wrong with this cut here. And it's not. And again, as you know, we talked about on the show, we were talking about it. When we had Kaleidoscape on, I believe it was Luke, and we were talking about how they did that, how they remember distinctly that conversation, Nelson writing in. I remember when it happened, it was Nelson literally had just gotten his Kaleidoscape and I'm standing in my driveway talking to him. I remember, and he was like, oh no, but it at first, I think we did talk about it on the show. If we didn't, Nelson will slap me upside the head, but I'm pretty sure we talked about it on the show. He was nervous and he was like, I don't know. That's both of our favorite movie. It's what we reference everything on. And when you got a new product like that, he'd worked hard to get his Kaleidoscape. He was the one that he got a job at Best Buy. He did the whole thing. It's like, he couldn't afford it either, but he found a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. And he found it. And wait, you know, you're super excited about something like this. And he's also super detailed. You know, that's what I love about like this hobby. That's what I love about Nelson and all the people that are like, we're so detail oriented. That's part of the hobby. That's part of the nature of what we do. And what's great about Nelson and I, most of the time, we don't even agree. It's like, we see things differently. We see the details line up differently and it's all opinion stuff, but we're like, no, I like it this way. I like it this way. Right. I'm more speakers. He's less speakers. He has great speakers. We won't go back and forth. talk to you soon, Nelson, buddy. But anyways, he was scared. He was really scared. Like, we both loved Kaleidoscape. We've been following him for years. We'd talked about it long before he got his. And it makes you nervous, right? And this, again, this is, it's all in the title of the show, catalog title. It's all because of a catalog title. So he watches Star Wars on his new Kaleidoscape, which he had dreamed for years of getting. And you go, damn, there's a flaw. So then you backs out, watches it on other, you know, versions of it, watches it on the Zepedi, which is basically the Blu-ray. It is the Blu-ray, right? But watches the Blu-ray, does his due diligence. I think he even watched the stream. He's watching everything. And he's like, that little red dot, which nobody in the world is going to see. Nobody. Only Nelson. I can see it now because he had to show me. But it's details like that. But here's the thing. He's like, maybe Kaleidoscape isn't what it's all cracked up to be. But it was, because they were like, you're right. And then they went all the way to the source and corrected it. That's what those little updates are. When you get updates on your Kaleidoscape, it's like new picture, new sound, or improved picture, improved sound. Maybe somebody somewhere saw on, you know, ambulance, the little red dot of the little siren wasn't the red it's supposed to be. So they're like, we'll go back in and fix that. We'll ask the studio. Is this what it's supposed to look like? There you go. And then you get an update. Now it's correct. And that's what's nice about digital stuff now. Whether even on a Blu-ray or a disc, I mean, we've had discs come out bad and you're like, nah, that ain't right. And they reissue a re-release or whatever. In the case of a Kaleidoscape, they can just, here you go, update, boom. Same with streams. All right, we'll just update it. There you go. It's all set. But it's stuff like that's all in the catalog title. But like Nelson said, instead of at first where you have a little bit of fear there, you're like, oh, geez, maybe this isn't the product that I thought it was. It turns out it's that and more. Because they stand behind it. The studio stands behind it. They, you know, people are paying good money for this and they want to nail it. They want to get it right. And they did. You know, they could have just said, it's just a little red dot. Nope. They did all the work and fixed it. And it actually, you know, strengthened the bond, strengthened their, you know, credibility to Nelson because they did that all based on a catalog title, you know? Not based on, well, in Maverick in the theater, when I saw the jets go by and it went across the room, this one in my home. You don't have time. You don't know that stuff yet. You don't have the learned information. And, you know, it's, and again, like, yes, that's a different situation where a catalog title really, you know, hammered something home for him. And it was about a product. But then you have something like we were talking about earlier, like True Lies, Abyss, and Aliens. We waited so long for those catalog titles. And now, because of the gap, especially like the Abyss, it's like we had it on DVD. You can't even say I've watched this every year since because it doesn't count. It was on DVD. I got a 110-inch screen. Even if you're rocking like a 75-inch OLED and you're throwing on a DVD, you're like, that ain't very good. Not compared to a Blu-ray or never mind a 4K. So you can't really say you saw anything. Obviously, you get the catalog, you get the 4K version, you're going to be blown away. But now you're like, oh, well, the skin looks too waxy or this or that. And from what I'm seeing, that's a calibration issue, which is good because it's creating talk about calibration. It's this, I don't, you know, you see him, you, we saw, I should say, online, people arguing, I don't see it. Well, I do, but I don't. So to be fair, who is right? Because maybe the calibration is correct and it is waxy, but you don't know. But do you enjoy it on your end? If you don't, see, I always look at the part where the person that's not enjoying it, I don't want to say that they're wrong, but you can't tell somebody that they're wrong for enjoying it. Right? So like, oh boy. This is coming out after the Dorky Awards, which as I record this, they're recording at 8:45 on Monday night. I got my fingers crossed. I'm going to be on the ice on a game. So I won't be there live to watch and see if we repeat as home theater, as the podcast of the year award. It's been an honor holding that mantle for a year, but I'm going there because Ryan said a little while ago talking about, what the heck was it? Craven. That's what it was. Craven. He's like, I don't even want to like the people that like this movie anymore. Something like that. He's like, I don't even want to talk to you. And it's like, if you enjoy something, there's nothing wrong with it. And it's like, you can't tell people they're wrong for enjoying it because you don't know how that fed into it. You know, like why they enjoyed it. You can't, you can't tell somebody that they're wrong for not liking it either. I think that's funny. You know, like, oh no, you're wrong. It's great. Well, it's great to you, but anyways. Yeah. Anyway, I don't even know how I got off on that track there, but talking about, cause I was talking about what it looked like. And if the faces looks waxy to you and you're like, you don't like it. Okay. But I would always like, if that was me. Okay. So say I got a copy and I'm like, I'm seeing online, I'm seeing people say it's waxy and I'm seeing people say it's great. They enjoy it. I don't automatically side with the people that see it the way I do. Like if I'm like, I don't like this, it's a little bit waxy, I don't side with them, even though I agree with them. I'm trying to get to the people that like it. That's where it's like, that's where I think where catalog titles come in handy. It's like, you can go, okay, this works, this works, this works. This is what I know. This is how it is. I know my calibration is right. This is what's supposed to look like. Now I put in this copy. This isn't lining up to me. But I'm trying to get there. Why are people seeing the people that are enjoying this? How do I get there? Which is eventually how I ended up getting Illumigen, right? Because I'm hearing people talk about stuff that I'm like, I'm just not experiencing in my theater. I knew OLED was better, but it's not big enough. So I knew I had to go projector. But how can I get to enjoy the movie the way they are? And that's even in a case like with like aliens and they're like, you know, their faces look at this shot right here. It's a little waxy, this and that. Okay. If I'm agreeing with that, how do I get to that person that's saying it looked great to me? 9 times out of 10, it's the calibration, I would say. I'm just using this as an example because in Aliens, I didn't find that. I found that it did look smoother. It looked nicer. It looked like what Cameron wanted. I didn't find a waxy look. I found it to look like the pores on their face at times. It looked, True Lies. I thought that one did it. There was some where they softened it and you were like, why did that happen? But it seemed to be like, it was the nature of how they shot the film at the time. And that's what it was supposed to look like. So I couldn't argue with that. Maybe I wanted to see more pores, but it wasn't there because there were shots where you did see it and it was different characters, I should say, without getting into all the details there. But the thing with all of this is I don't like to get too upset about stuff that could potentially improve my system. Right. So like, if you just say like, oh, it looks like crap. And you just go with that. And then you see other people that say that, then, okay, we're taking a catalog title. I know what it's supposed to look like. This is what it is. And this is what I think it is. And, oh, I think it's horrible. And I found somebody that agrees with me. So we must be right. You're not going to improve your system. Maybe you are right, but don't stop your investigation there. Keep going. Use that catalog, go to other catalog titles, look at other people, talk to the people that have it, that are looking right. You know, research, like go in the forums, be like, why, what are you running? What do you think? What did you do? How did you get here? How did you get there? Why, you know, why do you think it looks good? What kind of system are you running? Has it been calibrated? Are you doing this? I've had discussions with people and argued back and forth on why something looks so great. And I was watching a physical release and they were watching streaming and we didn't even know. And then at the time they came back to me. I've had other people come back to me a week later. I changed my mind. The stream looks great. I'm sorry. I don't know what I was looking at. The first thing I asked is like, first time you watched it, what time was it? And what time was it the second time? And guaranteed every time this happened, it's happened a handful of times, different times of the day. Like you get home from work on the day it was released digitally, you couldn't wait to watch it like everybody else in the world. So everybody else is downloading it. People in your neighborhood, their servers are being taxed, everything. So your bit rate's probably through the floor. And you're like, this looks like crap. And people are posting, this is horrible, horrible. And I've had people write to me, this is horrible. I don't get it. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh. A week later, and again, a handful of times, they come back to me and be like, it looks great. I don't know what I was looking at. You weren't wrong in either time. But that's one of the things about streaming is that there's a variable there that it, you know, how fast the water hose is spraying into your house. You know, are you just getting like a squirt at a time or are you getting the full gush and you're getting all the information? You know, that's really what it's all about. So you wait a week, you know, let it build up, wait a week. And then when you go to watch it, not everybody's online. Not everybody's watching it. The rush has burned out. And now you can watch it at a decent bit rate and you'll get the better quality. That's not unheard of. Believe me, I've heard it over and over. But that's the nice thing about physical is that doesn't change. And again, that's catalog titles. Although that is new releases too. That is what's fun about new releases. One of the few things. When you get that stream and there's a variable there, you know what your expectations were from the theater. Now you get it at home and it's looking fuzzy. It's looking this. It's not as vibrant or whatever. It's little subtle things that helps you learn what the difference in streaming is, you know, and I think, and that's a lot of fun too, is like when I've had those handful of conversations, people are like, I didn't even know that. I didn't realize that. And that's part of knowing that you don't know. And variables like that are, you know, what home theater is about. You know, there's so many things, like there's so many variables, and like you have a problem in your theater, you got to start eliminating variables. What is this? What is this? What is this? So a catalog title, there's a few variable. There's a lot more variables to a catalog title than there are to a new release because they've been out longer. You know, I mean, I go back to Star Wars and it was on HBO cable. Then I had the VHS copy, which was better than the cable off of HBO, right? Then you upgrade same copy on the VHS. Then you upgrade to a hi-fi VCR, four-head VCR, which is separating the audio and the sound. And you're getting, you know, two-channel audio as opposed to mono through, you know, and now you're running it through more speakers. Dolby Surround. Ooh, four speakers. That was great. But you needed a hi-fi, they call hi-fi VCR, to be able to do that. All that was always there on that VHS copy. Way, way back in the 80s. All that was there on the VHS copy. You just needed to upgrade, one, your VCR, and two, you needed a stereo television, which was a big deal. Most televisions back then had one speaker, but then you got the nice stereo with the two crappy speakers at the bottom. That was a big deal. So, again, these are all variables that we've experienced. Nelson, guys like Nelson have experienced since the beginning. And even Paul Hurt goes back to the, I think he had it on eight millimeter. I think he had Star Wars, something like that. He showed me. He had some version of it that it's like, so the more versions you've experienced, the more variables you've experienced, then you get to see it in the newest version. That's what makes catalog titles so exciting. And that's what brings that anticipation, right? So like, it's fun that we've gotten all of those versions of Star Wars over the years, the original trilogy, that is, and been able to experience them. But then it's also fun that something like True Lies, we didn't get a ton. We got VHS, Laserdisc. Did we get a DVD? Maybe, I don't remember. But then we got a 4K. So the anticipation of having nothing and then getting it is also fun, but it makes it harder to compare, right? To pull off like what Nelson pulled off with Star Wars. It makes it harder to do that because you don't have the learned information. So that leads to another aspect of catalog titles versus new releases. Well, how about this? They take a catalog title. create new releases, like what Disney's done, Little Mermaid. They took that, made it live action, right? Lion King took that, made it a live action, and now they're doing it again with Mufasa. As my friend was telling me, she's like, you got to see this. Her daughters want to see it. This is awesome. Lion King, this, and this is what we had this whole discussion on, like, how, like, this is amazing. Look at the animation. This is all, and here's the funny thing. The newest one, Mufasa, or even the live action Lion King, they're all animated. It's just not drawn. It's animated digitally. It's all animation. Like the new one coming out, you watch the trailer for it. Those aren't real. It's animated. It's just better animation than like what I experienced last week or 2 weeks ago whenever I watched the Lord of the Rings animated feature. I'm like, we have all that technology and we can make Mufasa, the movie Mufasa, but Lord of the Rings, which is supposed to be like, that was supposed to be a technological marvel to be able to make. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but back when like, oh my God, they're, you know, the, Hobbits, they're so little standing next to Gandalf and how did they shoot that? And bo, that was all a big deal. And then they, you know, then we get the 4K version and that was a big marvel. And then it was like, I was so excited for that animation. It was like, meh, meh. There we go. It was like, oh, well. And you're like, okay. But then you see something like Mufasa and you're like, those are real animals talking. No, they're not. It's all animated. It's all drawn, you know, just like Space Jam. just like Space Jam. It's just animated characters talking on the screen, but they took a catalog title and they recreated it to a new release, which is going to create buzz, both good and bad. People are going to be upset. Why did they redo this movie? Why are they making another one? You know, catalog title versus new release, catalog title of Roadhouse. The hashtag Dork Boys didn't even want them to make it. I love Jake Gyllenhaal. Get out of my Roadhouse. It was like, that was a year ago. Literally was a year ago. And it's like, you took a catalog title. They want to make a new release out of it and people get upset, which is good. Creates buzz. People are talking. Whether you're happy or mad, people are talking about it. But what Disney's doing with, and they're even doing it with How to Train Your Dragon. I just saw that. And that's not even that old. The original How to Train Your Dragon is now going to come out in a quote, live action, but they didn't find a real dragon. It's animated, just better animation. And it, Toy Story, we when that came out, I remember my brother and I, he was in school for art. I'd gone to school for art and he was in school dealing with animation and learning how to do that. And this was the talks we had back then. And now we're there. We're still not there 100%. I have a conversation for later today's show where they show, you know, human animation. They're still not there 100%, but they're getting there. And that's why they can do animals, because we don't know animals like we know people. So a lion talking, you can't say, well, those whiskers aren't supposed to do that. On a human being, if the pores aren't right, you're going to say it looks waxy, right? So they got to nail that. They got to get better at that. But they can animate a whole entire movie like Mufasa, and you're going to be blown away, just like they did in Jurassic Park. That's where it pretty much started. And they've done ever since with all of these animals and creatures that they make up. It's all animation. And they're taking catalog titles and remaking them. And now they're taking animation and calling it live action when it's just better animation, which is hysterical, which is great. That's how great technology is getting. But you took a catalog title like How to Train Your Dragon and they made it into a live action. And I can't wait. I saw the trailer for that and I was starting to get like a little bit misty eyed because I remember the original movie and how much I loved that. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be great in live action. And I'm like, it's not live action, you idiot. It's like, but again, taking a catalog title and creating a buzz. How can they do that? New release, very, very few new releases create the buzz that catalog titles do. I've got Maverick, in my opinion, Maverick, Oppenheimer. After that, it's really hard for me to say, and I'm sure people are like, oh, well, what about this one? Okay, you're right, but it wasn't at the top of my head. Even Dune 2. Dune 2, we couldn't wait for the story. But as we've talked on the show, it was throughout the year, it suffers because it's Dune. We already had Dune 1. That was amazing. The sound, the picture, everything was amazing. I streamed, never saw it in the theater. That was like right after COVID. I can't remember if it was in the theater, but it got released on HBO Max at the same time, or maybe it was HBO at the time. I'm not even sure if Max was out yet, but I remember my son and I watching it the day it was released at home, which may have coincided with the release of the theater. I can't remember, but we're like, we're staying at home because it's just that good of a movie. I don't think, maybe it was, regardless. But it was awesome. And then we couldn't wait for the physical release because you want that upgrade because you saw it on the stream. And that was all the talk. It was movie of the year for us. It had an amazing home theater experience, right? Well, Dune 2 comes out. It's the same thing. Home theater wise, home theater experience wise. You've got the deserts, you've got the spice, you've got the base. Everything's there. How much more can you do, right? We know the story. We just want to see it played out now. But home theater experience, there's not a lot more to add to Dune 2 that wasn't in Dune 1. So how do you blow us away home theater experience-wise? It's very difficult to do. Maverick, I think that one did it because it was so popular in the theater. People saw it many times. They couldn't wait to get it at home. I'd say Dune 2, home theater-wise, is probably a better home theater experience than Maverick was, but it's just similar to Dune, so we already had it. Maverick was on its own. Maverick is better than Top Gun, even the upgraded version of Top Gun, you know, the new 4K. It's not, I mean, Maverick blows it away. Oppenheimer, same thing. Home theater-wise, for me, the way they did that, the shots, having seen it in the theater so many times, seen it in 70 millimeter, experience what I think we were supposed to experience, and then trying to see that at home. Is it clean? Is there any dirt or specks on the film in the home theater version? Or was that just the 70 millimeter I saw that wasn't, you know, and the cut that wasn't 70 millimeter was supposed to look a little? These were all conversations that we had leading up to it that really it's very rare that a new release gets that kind of, you know, scrutiny. So it's hard. Like Deadpool Wolverine, there's not a lot of scrutiny. It's comedy. It's fun. Comedy action movie. It was fun, right? Fall Guy, same thing. Comedy. I couldn't wait for that. MCU movies, that's just more fun, popcorn fun in your theater, but it's not a lot of scrutiny to it. Other than, is it a Disney movie? Is the sound flat or whatever? You know, and any new Star Wars movies that are coming out, those are, to me, because of the Star Wars lore, because how much I love Star Wars, I always look forward to those in my theater after seeing them. And, you know, Spider-Man movies, same thing. But those like T2, Twister, Terminator, True Lies, Abyss, Aliens, Star Wars Trilogy, Lord of the Rings, Psycho, Lawrence of Arabia, Bridge on the River Kwai, all of this stuff. It's like, those are the ones like off the top that you just go, like I can just keep going back to and go, wow, okay, that's what it is. You know, that's what it's about. Because how, like even with Psycho, where I didn't watch it a ton, like I did Star Wars, but I did watch it on television. I did see it as a kid, well, teenager, and now seeing it on the big screen, the way probably most people have never seen it, be like, it blows you away. And that, You can't say that about a new release, right? Like everybody saw Maverick. Oh, nobody's seen it. Yeah, they did. Pretty much. They may even have saw it. If you saw it in a Dolby Cinema, you're like, oh yeah, millions of people saw this just like this. Psycho, you can't say that. You can't. It's just the way they remastered that. It's like, millions of people did not see Psycho the way we can see it now in our theaters. Because the technology didn't exist even in the best theater. If they could do it, it wasn't millions of people that experienced that. Just like John Thompson listening right now is going, yeah, what I've experienced, only like 10 people have seen something like that. You're like, you're all wrong. It's like, oh, okay. I can't wait to get those versions. Right. And it's like, and that's what's fun is not only can the catalog titles get better, we're going to get newer versions. We're going to get new remasters. And the next, I'll probably be dead by the time Star Wars gets a new remaster. But we'll get new remastered versions of all of these movies in the future because, one, they want to sell. Two, technology comes out that's able to pull that out. That's fun to know. But it's also fun to know, just on the versions we have, as we upgrade our systems, there's stuff in there that we don't even know what we don't know. You know, like I said, infrasonics, or in the picture, you get a better contrast, you get a better ability, better. What if they come out with even better HDR, HHDR, you know, high dynamic range? I don't know. And like, is it possible? Because we didn't even know what that was 10 years ago. Oh, actually, HDR was out 10 years ago. It's been that long. 15 years ago. We didn't know what HDR was. High dynamic range? What does that have to do with anything? You know, all of these new things. Now, who knows 10 years from now what that is going to mean? You know, the ability to pull it out. We're getting closer to passive 3D. I've seen, you know, monitors that do it, but they're like, what, $100,000, $40,000 for a little one or whatever. They're there, but it'll come down just like plasma did. And then, well, there's more. I mean, the 3D movies, are those going to do it? Or are they just going to go to 4K and be able to do that? Like I have, well, you know, both my catalog titles for this week were 3D in the theaters, and they both in 4K now lend to, like what Steve says, that, you know, 4K, it's better. 4K is better than 3D for the most part. Very few movies. I would say the original Avatar to me, Dread and Alita Battle Angel are three movies off the top of my head that I actually still do prefer in 3D. But I will say, like Steve said, it's getting closer to that. It's not worth the effort to put the glasses on, get it right, you know, dialed up. I got to get the disc instead of that. It's like the 4K is so good that it's gotten so close for me now that I see what Steve's talking. And it's like, you're right. It's like those three movies I still think are better in 3D, but it's not worth the effort of like, yeah, glasses on. Here it is. And this, no, screw it. I'll just fire it up and go. So, neither of those, none of those three movies are catalog titles for this week. So I only have two movies this week. I don't know what Steve's got, always got a few. Yeah. So there you go. That was it for this week. Did I do okay? Let me know. An hour long by myself, ranting and raving. Yeah, well, let me know. I got to get in touch with somebody about, Martin J gave me, somebody to reach out to. I'm going to do that shortly. I'll let you know. That'll be a future Takeover Tuesday. If there's anybody wants to come on, let me know, and we'll get it dialed up, and we'll schedule it, and be happy to sit down and talk. I don't, you know, like I said, Wednesday nights are probably the best nights. Sometime, anytime four to eight, nine, something. Like, if I can be done by 9 p.m. Eastern time, that would be great. But otherwise, I mean, that's just a, you know, that I know I can pretty much lock in. But anything else I can make happen, I just need enough time so we can do that. And if there's anybody else, anybody that we've heard had on the show before that you want on again, write me. And what's great is what I want to, and the reason I'm asking people to write is because I want to take your email and I want to send it to those people, you know, so they know. It's like, it's pretty cool that, you know, they like that too, you know, like, hey, you're getting requested. Here you go. And just, you know, little something like why you want them back, or just let me know, oh, this was great. The one I get, and it's super easy to do, and that's why I just can't do it, the most popular is Brett. I don't know why. Brett and I could just do a show daily if we wanted to. Brett Bjorkquist, that is. We could do a show daily, and it's like, but, and people want them back. And I was like, I can get them anytime. I just don't want the people that don't, I don't want to be, I don't want people to be bored of just Brett and I. I'm like, another Takeover Tuesday. It's going to go, actually, you're just going to call the Brett and DJ show at that point. So, but yes, I mean, people love Brett. People love hearing from Brett. So I know that one, but I can get Brett anytime, and I've had Brett anytime I need him. It's just great. Same with Todd. Todd's the same. Todd's the one I want, like, more. Todd's harder to get. So that's special to me. I could talk to him when I want, but get to record with him is that special to me. But yeah, no, let me know. Let me know, email dj@brightsidehometheater.com. And we'll get those guests lined up. And it, or if you're a listener and you want to come on and host a Takeover Tuesday, haven't had a new one in a while. I haven't done them in a while like that. But I know I have my regulars. Hell, that's how Steve started. He was a Takeover Tuesday. And now he's on the show. We don't have any more openings. Sorry. it's yeah. So, but yeah, if new, you want to come and don't be nervous. It's not what you think it is. I just sat here and talked by myself for over an hour. So you come on the show and by the time you're done, we'll have talked for probably over 2 hours and you won't even have realized it. And it's you know, everybody says they've been on, they were nervous when they started. Not everybody was nervous, but if they were, most people are. And then when it's over, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe it's over. And it's like, and then in a bad way, they want it to keep going. And it usually does. We stop recording and then we chat for another hour or so about some like behind the scenes stuff and, you know, things that can't be talked publicly. So fun stuff like that. So yeah, everybody have a great rest of your day. We'll be back. John, Steve and I will be back at 5 p.m. Eastern time, Tuesday live show on YouTube. Which obviously goes out audio wise on Fridays, but yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting. There will be an after show, a Patreon after show this week. I'll join everybody after that. As soon as John and Steve and I are done, wrapping up after the 7 p.m. show, we'll hop in. I'll be hopping into the, Patreon chat and we usually go there. Last couple weeks, we've gone a couple hours afterwards just chatting away. So. And I'll put out the notice on Patreon too. So, all right. Thank you, everybody. Until the next time, you know what you gotta do.
Go push play.
What he said.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production. With theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.